Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily.
Aloha, Mr. Han.
Well, hello there, everybody. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to you here on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you for the next little while, getting you through the first part of your day on the way to work, however it is you're tuning in over the air on our video streams on the Odyssey app. We appreciate you. You can get in touch with the show via any of those methods, 869-1240 on the hotline, on the video streams. Just comment right there on Facebook, YouTube, X. We can take those over the air. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected as well. And if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, you can leave us a voice message. We've got a lot of fun stuff to get to today. We will discuss KU's win over Towson last night, 73-49. Tria Slotta, our KU insider, in to help us with that. No Darren Peterson last night. K-State loses a pretty key piece and an uneasy transfer portal entry yesterday. We'll get to that as well. We'll take you around the NFL, latest on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, all kinds of fun stuff today here on Sports Daily. And it's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Groups can gather for holiday fun. Bring the whole family, your out-of-town visitors, to WBC for a taste of pizza and beer made here. East near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano at Handley. Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Got to hear the sweet, sweet music of Max's Hawaiian playing this Wednesday morning. I forget about it every week on Tuesday nights. Wake up Wednesday real tired, trying to choke the coffee down, and then I'm taken to Maui to listen to what Max wants to.
Yeah, you know what? All you need to do is just you set a little reminder on your phone to grab your Hawaiian shirt on Tuesday night, and you set it out, and that way you don't forget. It's pretty easy. That's what I do. It's right there for you.
Wow.
Look, you can use lots of it. You can get them as golf shirts. This is a Hawaiian golf shirt right now. You just need to embrace it, TJ. It's working. We're getting nice weather today.
Golf today.
We'll take a nap through tomorrow. Ooh, I didn't even think about playing golf. Man, that is a good idea. I don't think I can, but I might need to check the schedule on that. We're just inspired by this wonderful weather. So get out there and enjoy it. Tomorrow, put some rocks in your pocket. We'll have to deal with a little wind, but today it should be very nice out there. It is December 17th, after all. And what are we looking at today?
We're going to be grilling on Christmas Day.
Heck yeah, we are. The problem is, we're
going to get absolutely destroyed in February.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's going to happen anyway. So we don't need to rush anything. Like, let's enjoy this while we have it. It's not that unusual to go outside on Christmas. I mean, it's fine. There's a reason why Christmases are rare. If Christmas was in, late January, it probably wouldn't be that rare. What is are you off from TV today?
Today, yes.
See, so that's the problem with call. You'll be good like at noon to go play when it's sunny and 50. For me, I'd still have to go out at cloudy and like 32 degrees. And man, I love golf, but I don't love it that much. That ain't happening. Yeah. So yeah. I'm probably stuck. Maybe this week I can.
I'm flirting with the weird part of my golf game, Jacob. We've discussed this on the show. I had the shanks real bad for the last like month and a half. I've been trying to work through it.
You were
the
shockers at the free throw line?
Yeah, it was maybe worse than that. And I've been, golf lessons, range sessions, everything like that. Went to the simulator, played really good the other day, and now I'm really fighting the urge to like book 7 tee times in the next 7 days to try to strike while the iron's hot. So I don't know if I should do that. Do I go back to the range, keep working on the craft? I don't know what to do at this point.
Well, I don't want to crush your hopes and dreams. You're not going pro, so I think probably you just understand that it's golf and it's hard and you'll be fine and just pick it up or go 9 times. But ultimately it's probably not going to matter too much.
Yeah, it's true.
But have fun with it and enjoy it out there in the sunny weather today. I wish I could join you.
I might actually golf Christmas Day. I got to cover the Chiefs game that night. It may be presents in the morning, golf on Christmas Day, then go cover Chiefs game. Go cover Gardner Minshew, baby.
you don't have to cover Gardner Minshew. That's I think you're in the same, but you know, a lot of Chiefs fans are like, man, Christmas Day, like we're gonna. I can't wait to see like what the Netflix numbers are on Christmas Day with nothing on the line and Gardner Minshew under center.
It's a big storyline of its own at this point. You know, this is the first game inside Arrowhead Stadium that Patrick Mahomes won't start in 6 years. This is the draft capital game. If they lose, that's going to be the best thing that's going to happen to them.
That's going to be the case in every game they play. And the problem that's are true. Two of the teams that they play are in the same terrible. Boat. So yeah. What are you going to do? I don't think that the Chiefs are going to lose the next 3 games.
The Athletic had a graphic up. I didn't dig into the story, but the Chiefs, they broke down percentages that the Chiefs can get this pick. And I think it's like 11 or 12 is the highest. And there is a 1% chance they could fall all the way to the 8th pick. And so he said, how is that possible? Everyone else would have to win out.
Yeah, it's and look, you see a guy like Jeremiah Love come into the draft, a guy that you were talking about yesterday who Amazon, Rick says, not Netflix, whatever. Jeremiah Love, it's number 3 overall player, according to Mel Kiper. Maybe on the table. He's probably not going to get drafted number 3 overall.
Mel Kiper said Shador Sanders kind of was number 1, too.
What?
Mel Kiper said Shador Sanders was number 1, too.
Shador Sanders the best quarterback in the class so far? What quarterback's better than him?
That's a good question.
He did not say Shador Sanders was the top player in the class. He said he might have said he was the top quarterback.
Okay, top quarterback.
And I think he's right. I said the same thing. What quarterback out of that class is better? Who would you rather have right now? Cam Ward, Tyler Shuck, or Shador Sanders?
There are about Jackson Dart's in that class.
It's true. And Jackson Dart's going to have a real hard time staying on the field.
That's true, too.
I mean, which is it?
Yeah.
Dart has impressed us. Dart has been the better quarterback, but I took a lot of crap for saying I like Shador Sanders and thought he was the best quarterback in the class. Yeah. And I think that could be correct. And that doesn't mean he's going to be awesome. It just means it was not a very good quarterback class and he was the best one. We'll see. But anywho, that's happening. Arch Manning is not going to enter the NFL draft.
This is going to be a weird draft next year.
It is going to be a weird draft next year. I was really glad to see Arch Manning come back because I would now, like anytime you get like this over, this is what happened with Shador with me. Like anytime there's this overwhelming, like, this guy sucks. And I'm like, he's like 19 starting his first year of college football. Like he still has the same skill set he had when everyone thought he was one of the best prospects in a while. Like, did you notice he got a lot better over the course of the year? I'm glad he's coming back. I hope he kills it next year. You lose Arch. A running back is one of the top players overall. How high do they go? What do the Chiefs do? It is, you know, there are other years you probably had wished the Chiefs would be in this situation. There are years where, you know, imagine 2-3 years ago with that quarterback class, you get in there and everybody's taking quarterbacks and you just have some stud falling down the draft board. Hell, that happened to him last year. Josh Simmons falling into the 30s. Like it'll be interesting. Are they in BPA mode? Do they have a specific need? All the things that we'll discuss as Patrick Mahomes rehabs his knee. We'll get into some of that, but when we come back, let's talk KU. Big winners over Towson last night. What'd we see? The news on Darren Peterson. It's all there for you. That's when we come back. It's all brought to Cleveland on Sports Daily Football.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you here on this Wednesday. Glad to be with you here on this Wednesday. It's a fun day. Sports Talk on KFH presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. You will see the Chiefs on CBS, KWCH this weekend. 12 News has it for you as they go to Tennessee and take on the Titans in a noon kick. The Gardner Minshew game. Is he auditioning for a job next year? You think it's that simple?
Probably. I mean, if he's good, they probably feel better. If he's bad, they're going to be more stressed considering I don't know when Mahomes is coming back, and there's no point in speculating at this point because everybody's saying something different.
Yeah, look, I think everybody's pretty aligned in 9 months right now is the expectation, which is fine. That means like he's done with the rehab in 9 months. That's the other, 9 months. Yes, it would be the start of the season. And I have been one of the people from the moment he snapped his leg to say, hey, it's Mahomes. Like, don't be surprised if. But 9 months to be done with the rehab. Does he immediately step on the field and play at that point, or does it take another ramp up period? So, and it's obviously silly to speculate on those minute details at this point. We've got to, get through the process here of the end of this season before we can probably even have remotely a decent idea of that. All right, let's talk a little KU. TJ, 73-49 winners over Towson last night. Flory Badunga was outstanding, as you would expect him to be against a team like Towson. And then it was a pretty balanced attack otherwise. I thought, every time that Peterson doesn't play, and we'll get to that part of this in a second, every time he doesn't play, I kind of just sit there and I'm like, can they just have an incredible defensive game in those games? And they did. They held Towson under 50. I can't wait to watch KU and Houston play a game in the 50s later this year, right? KU must be great defensively. They must be. And they have been for the most part this year. And I think they're getting even better.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they've learned that that is the bread and butter, and I think that that's what this group of guys have learned, that that's what they do really well. That's what we saw in Vegas, I think, as well, of how they were able to win those games without a Darren Peterson. And so this group has, I think it's proven us wrong for sure about, they have after Peterson. And so I think that the more you want, like, this team without Darren Peterson, I think can finish as an NCAA. It can be an NCAA tournament team without Darren Peterson and probably be a higher than a 5 even without Darren Peterson, I would go as far to say.
It's going to be tough when they start to play Big 12 games every night. That's where it'll grind on you a little bit. But again, great defense raises that floor so much that you can at least at that point, if you're playing great defense, you can count on probably winning most of your home games. And then you get into that point and you're like, okay, a 500 team in the Big 12 is going to the NCAA tournament as a pretty good place. So Badunga was great, as you'd expect him to be. How did Melvin Council follow? That was something else we were kind of watching. Look, he led the team in shots, scored 15, but, took 6 threes, which 3 for 6, heck yeah. So again, like, Council sort of gaining confidence and becoming, that option B offensively, that's a great thing. That's what we need to see out of this team.
Shreyas will tell you it's funny about how annoyed he has been on some of this stuff for the last week, especially because of what the ESPN broadcast was saying about, like, whoa, Melvin Council is shooting this one from downtown. And it's like, Melvin Council shot like 40% at St. Bonaventure last year. Like, it's not like this guy is Flory Badunga chucking up threes.
Right.
But yeah, literally, it's why KU got him. They're not going to get a guy from St. Bonaventure that can't score the basketball. I saw a stat that he missed his first 10 threes as a Jayhawk, went 0 for 10, and since then is shooting like 48% or something like that. Like, it's unreal how bad that first 10 slowed him down. But, I mean, they haven't had a guy that can make threes in 3 years. Like, if he can do that, then all for it.
Yeah, look, he I don't know what he's going to be. I would love to see what he is in conjunction with Peterson. I think we saw that degree to NC State, but when you really started to love on Council, it was kind of when Peterson went down, right? I mean, he was making threes in that game, but they will need this kind of game. I mean, those are your two options, right? If it's not Peterson, it's going to be Council and it's going to be Badunga, I think. Yep. And sure, other guys are going to have their night. They're going to feel it on certain nights. And that's good too. But all of these pieces look great to me, considering what KU was going into this year with literally 100% question marks. Yep. So I think we're feeling good. And then, of course, you're not feeling good about Darren Peterson because, again, and I think this makes a lot of sense. He didn't play last night. The team put out a statement from Bill Self saying something like it's flaring up in practice now, this quad, which is not good news. They had this opportunity to give him 3 weeks basically off. I would practice him as hard as he can practice, not playing him until UCF. I mean, I think at this point, why? What I hope is fans now, the vocal Peterson soft, all that nonsense. Like, I hope those fans are at least now on, like, the kid is hurt. He's not 100%. It sucks, but the goal has to be to get him to 100%, and everybody can just chill out on the, you know, the definitive statements on his KU career. Let's just see if he can get healthy first and foremost. I've had a break between NC State and the start of conference play. If he can, I believe it's 3 weeks, if they can just kind of shut him down a little bit and see if this thing works. I don't know what you do.
I mean, the thing is, though, and this is something that we talked with Sharice about a couple of weeks ago, is that, like, if he's practicing hard, what's the difference between practicing hard and playing hard at that point?
There's,
you know, like,
if you've ever played anything in your life, you know there's a difference between practicing and playing.
I know that, but, like, if you're sprinting around and pushing it in practice, like, what's to keep you from playing 20 minutes in the next game or something like that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the same, like, in terms of the quad, like, the quad is going to get the same amount of work, basically. It, like, you're not going to play 40 minutes.
If his quad is flaring up, they're not going to practice him that way.
Okay, so, then I'm fine with that. Like, don't practice him and not play him.
Of course they're not. That's like, but they're not going to do that. Like, they're not going to say, all right, Peterson's got a bum leg. Let's start running up and downs right now. Here we go. Let's test it out. They're not going
to. Well, that's what you just said. You just said to practice him hard and not play him.
Practice it, but not as hard as he's going to play in a game. Like, practice him as much as he can take and see where he's at, but don't, like, there's no need to push the injury. Like, yeah. if he's telling you he wants to practice, then great, let's do it. But you can't go out there in a game and say, all right, Peterson, we want you to give a 70% here. Let's go. Like, that's impossible. Nobody can do that. You're going to get out there and you're going to play. You can control a practice environment.
That's true. I think my thoughts on it at this point is just, like, if you're going to shut it down, just do it. And, like, I don't want him touching a ball for a three. Like, just I would sit in the training room and figure it out.
I would have to ask the trainers and ask him on that. Before I say you can't do anything. Because then there's a ramp up. Like, if he's trying to work through it, like, what we don't know is, has he ever dealt with this ever before? They're not going to tell us that public facing, but behind the scenes, is this something you've ever had to deal with? And if it is, like, how did you get through it that time? We'll never know the answer to that ever. They will never say a word about that because it could hurt his draft stock, right? They're not, like, we'll never know that stuff. So, okay, what is the path here? Well, we know at the minimum they don't need to play him for these two games. Like, it just doesn't matter enough. So is it a little bit of practice? What do the trainers think? Like, how do you deal with this? It is weird. It's cramping. I would imagine if there was any, like, on an MRI structural damage, he would be shut down and would not be doing anything. But I think the confusing part is there probably is not that. And so it's like, okay, well, what then? Because at that point, the trainers are probably telling you, like, he's in no danger. Like, his muscles are fine. It's cramping. Yep. So how do you work through the cramping? I think, you know, in a controlled environment, you can test it to a point. And maybe this is what it is. Maybe you're getting 25, 27 minutes out of Peterson, and you have to learn how to utilize that before his legs kind of give up on him. But it's happening in practice. So whatever happened in that game carried over to practice. That's probably where there were red flags. Like, all right, enough. Like, we're not, like, now it's happened. Because apparently that hadn't been happening. Right? We haven't heard that this has been a problem in practice.
Yeah, this is a new one. This has nothing. And Bill, that was one of the big things that he talked about last night at the press conference, is that this explicitly has nothing to do with his hamstring. Like, this is a different injury. And, like, it's not a lingering thing. It is, but it's also, like, not, you know, like, this is the third different injury in the non-conference, you know what I mean?
I would rather have the cramping issues than a hamstring injury. Yep. Isn't there something you drink when you get cramps that's supposed to help?
Electrolytes.
Yeah. Which, yeah. Of course, I guess just in our heads, we all need to not expect him at this point. I think to expect him to just be good at any point this year, it's probably not the right train of thought. I don't know that that's going to happen. How do you even think that at this point?
It's such an interesting conversation that we haven't had to have yet in college sports. And I'm not insinuating anything about Darren Peterson here or KU, but like, this has happened in football where guys will come out and blow out their knee or whatever, and they're out for the season or something like that, and like, get paid a bunch of money to come to the school and not get to play that year because they get hurt. Like, in football, it's not as big of a thing because you have to play college football for 3 years, you know? Like, what if this was the Michael Porter situation? Like that's what my mind keeps going to, and I don't think it is. Again, I'm not insinuating anything, but like, imagine back to that Michael Porter situation at Mizzou where he didn't play in a game. If it was the NIL era, like, he would have gotten a fat check to go to Mizzou and not played a game. Like,
if he's hurt, then that's part of it. That's why it's easier for schools to run that stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
It's just never happened before. Like, you can't really do anything about it. You're just, you know, SOL that you lost your money on a guy that you can't see play, you know?
That's correct. That's why it's a little easier to pool it all up. That's why it's a little easier to pool it all up for the schools. I think, It's an unusual situation. I mean, at the end of the day, it's an unusual situation that's annoying and frustrating, and I just don't want to lose sight of the fact that KU looks pretty good otherwise, right? Like, I think we're having two different conversations. Like, the floor without him appears to be much higher than we thought.
Yep.
The ceiling with him is like a national championship. I really do think that. But the floor without him is pretty good. It's not like this is a team that is coming into itself where the parts seem to be fitting together nicely, and you like it. You know, they don't have that obvious, without Peterson out there, that obvious star player, but they have a collection of guys who are buying into their roles, who are becoming one of the best, if not the best, defensive team in the country, and they're learning how to find offense, and that's awesome. And I think that they can really work through the Big 12. Are they going to win the Big 12 without Darren Peterson? I don't think so.
No.
But are they going to be a team that makes noise, more noise probably than they have the last 2 years? I think probably they will be.
They're a lot better than I thought they were. I would agree with that. I think that it's still – there's still scares on the fact that basically last night, like, five players contributed to that 73 points for the most part. I think there was maybe 10 points scored off the bench. Like, that's the thing that's going to scare you, is that – even when you have Darren Peterson, you're really only going to run six deep, basically, and then like a seventh guy to come help out. Like, that's, I mean, the bench, you're really going to get
shots. They tried. They played. Yeah. They played good minutes. Three of them, four of them, really. But you know, Rosario, Dawson, and El Marco, a collective. They took a collective 16 shots. They only made three of them, but they were trying. It wasn't, you know, so it wasn't by design.
Yeah, but you know, you got three guys.
I understand what you're saying, but I think it's good to see them still trying to, like, we would like to have another couple of guys here in the rotation. I mean,
somebody's got to shoot the ball. Yeah.
Who's going to come take it? And we've seen flashes, I think, of El Marco this year. I didn't have any expectation for Cole Rosario, but I was told to expect big things.
I know.
And we really haven't seen much of anything from him. He's not ready yet. I think you can see the flashes and the, you know, the outline and silhouette of what could be a great player down the road, but he's not that. He doesn't need to be in this starting five right now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think that it's, you know, like we've talked about, I am like, I don't want to see it because that means that something went wrong. But like, if I could see this group against a Big 12 team, I'd be very intrigued of what that would look like. And I don't want to see that because that means Derek Peterson's hurt. But like, I keep thinking about like, if this team was in March Madness as a six, we'll say they're a six seed. Like, yeah. Could they beat the three? Is that the number they'd play? Could they beat a three seed?
Yeah, sure they could. Look, I think they showed us that. I mean, they beat Tennessee. They had UConn on the ropes. So they were in the Duke game for sure. I think as time goes on, absolutely they could. You know, as far as the Big 12, to me, it feels like a fourth, fifth place finish, somewhere around 500 in the Big 12, which would be great without Peterson. But yeah, look, I think KU fans, and the other thing to be excited about is they keep getting better. Like this is a team that gets better. Like they've gotten better offensively. They're finding their groove, and defensively, they are embracing being one of the best in the country. And when you can run out two dudes as big and athletic as Tiller and Badunga, you're not going to lose many nights on the rebounds, and you're not going to lose many nights defensively. Like those two dudes are athletic enough to be on the court together. That is a unique thing for college basketball. Like, good luck. You better be able to shoot the three when you're playing KU or you're going to be in trouble.
It's true. This feels like more of a defensive team than we've seen last 2 years as well.
100% better. Yeah. Like, they had good
defense. Which is funny because that team had DeJuan Harris and KJ Adams, like, so defensive players.
They had good individual defensive players. This team just fits. Like, I think that's the most promising thing that I could tell, it looks like this team fits. Are they lacking something? Sure they are. They're lacking offense. They have that, hopefully, working through this very annoying situation for everybody involved. But, you know, I think this is a much better team without him than I thought it would be. And I think most people thought it would be. And here they are sitting here, and they'll get another game against Davidson on Monday night. And then that's it until January 3rd. So for Peterson, it will be from December 13th to January 3rd, the opportunity for him to take that time to get this thing right by the Big 12. At this point, aren't we happy if you can get 25 minutes a game from Peterson in the Big 12? Like, I would be satisfied with that at this point.
I'd like more, but I guess with the circumstances.
I would love a full, unrestricted workload, but until... Like at this point, like I just want to get something out of him, right? Spurts, play him in spurts, get the instant offense, sit him down, rest his leg. The problem for everybody involved is who knows if that's even helpful, right? Like nobody knows if that even does any good. So you got to work through it. He'll sit down. I'll bet you we don't see him until UCF. And I think that's probably the best play. Is it going to work? I don't know. But I think it's the best play at this point for Self and the Jayhawks. All right, TJ, you had sent me something yesterday. You were surprised. I think you're confused by the Mahomes timeline. I think
it's just, I don't know if it's so much as confused. It's just the fact of like, depending on who you listen to, everybody's got a different opinion on it.
I think the opinion right now is, I think a couple of things. The fact that he already had the surgery gives you some idea of how he feels about the rehab. Like the next morning, the next day, get down to Dallas. Okay, great. Let's get this the hell over with so we can start to come back. I think that is along the lines of where my head went when I saw it, which was like, it's December. I wouldn't be stunned if he's back for the start of the regular season. It's Mahomes, right? Like this is kind of what he does. We saw him come back quickly from the kneecap dislocation, whatever the hell that was, on the quarterback sneak. Like he plays hurt all the time. You think he's going to be hurt and he's not. Like that part of his, you know, that's a physical part of his game that has helped him succeed. So if he's back in 9 months, will I be surprised? Not at all. I won't be surprised. If he starts the regular season, will I be surprised? Nope, not even a little bit. Is it likely? That's the part I don't think anybody knows that, including him. But he'll approach it, I can almost guarantee you, with the expectation that I'm going to be back for the start of the regular season. And that's a good place to start if you're a Chiefs fan. So I'm not surprised to hear that stuff. It sounds like, medically speaking, most people are getting the same vibe too. Like the Twitter doctors who we've talked about, Schefter, I think, had it yesterday. Like, it does appear like it could be a 9-month rehab if everything goes normal, which is, really good news.
But I think the thing that I'm most confused about is the fact of, like, I'm with you on that. And, like, it started off as just an ACL tear, and that was the reports that were released from the Chiefs and everything like that. And that was when everybody was like, 9 months. 9 months is possible to do. And then it turned into reports started to come out about, yeah, it's kind of what we thought. It's ACL and it's LCL. Like, that is the same as, I don't know who it was. Somebody else did it, and I can't remember who it was. But theirs took that pushed it back to like 11 and a half months. And then you think about, like, I don't know. Like, people are just ignoring the LCL part of it. And, like, I understand it's the same rehab for the knee, but, like, does that not slow down the process at all?
I believe that the one that slows it down is where the – where's Earl? Earl would know this for us. Earl, if you're out there, explain this to us. I think the one that makes it worse is the MCL, I think. So there are different kinds, like there's like everything, right? There are different degrees of any injury. I don't think he snapped his ACL in half, which makes it worse. I think just again, right away, Dr. Chow is the one on Twitter that I like. And he was like, that looks like there could be a little LCL involved in that too. But he's been saying from the beginning, like 9 months.
And then he changed his mind yesterday, is what I'm telling you.
Oh, I didn't see him change his mind.
I sent it to you. He said he thinks it may not even be till the start of 2027 season.
What? You didn't send me that.
I did, right before the Schefter one, because that's why I said I was confused. Because
I just saw the Schefter one, and I was like,
Dr. Chow says it's going to be 2027. Adam Schefter says it's going to be 2026. And to be fair, Dr. Chow is probably being a little dramatic because her social media clicks. That's his whole job now.
Oh, he's saying fully mobile. He's saying fully mobile. Right. He's saying like before he's 100% back. I think playing and being 100%, that's the other part of this. Like, regardless of when he returns from the injury, we don't know what that looks like. He's an older player that more than ever relied on mobility. We know that his lateral speed is a big part of his game. Yes, that part of it, I don't even want to think about that, because there is also the question of, does he return as the same player?
I mean, that's like,
I don't know that.
That's the other thing that I'm wondering about, which we don't know any of this stuff, which is kind of silly that we're speculating.
It's not rehabs. Speculating. We're talking about it.
I mean, yeah, I know, but it's just funny that, like, what do you think the rehab process is like? I don't know. I've never torn my ACL before. But the other part of it as well is, like, if he is done rehabbing it in September, like, he's not going to be 100%. Like, do you put a gumpy knee out there in September?
Big old knee brace and all those things. I don't know.
Wait till he can run?
The off season goes. Here's what frightens me a little bit about it is, now more than ever, it's been obvious that his mobility in the pocket is one of the absolute most key components to his game.
What's the offensive line going to look like?
Just as a pure stand there and throw the ball quarterback, to me, he has not looked as good the last 2 years at that part. What makes him still so great is his ability to keep plays alive, move around, be the maestro of that orchestra and do those things. That's where this is going to be a real challenge, I think, for him. Are we going to get to the point at any point? Does Mahomes come back? You're like, okay, well, now we kind of need you to be we need you to be a pocket passer for a little while that knee continues. Like, that's probably not going to work either. So those are all factors. We're not even to that point yet. Like, what kind of player is Mahomes coming back from an ACL injury? For Tom Brady, who was a statue back there for the most part, right? Up and down, maybe two or three shuffle steps before every throw, wasn't as big a deal that he tore his ACL. Mahomes is moving around every time he touches the ball, and he's moving in circles, right? Like, he's running around and to the side. So those are things, like, until we see it, that we won't know the answer to that until this time next year, right? Like, until December of next year, when we, hopefully see him play at that point. And maybe that's the part, because it is like Carson Wentz comes to mind,
know.
That's one where it's like,
yeah,
Chow is saying maybe into 2027.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, you couldn't, you, that may be gone for a lot longer.
Yeah. That, I don't know. Like, I, that's going to be the $1 million question next year. The, what do you want to do with this
question?
Yeah. Probably, yeah, more than $1 million. They, you know, how important are the games in September? I think is what is just going to come to mind. You know what I mean?
Like, important. So then
they are.
I mean, they count the same as the ones in December. They all count.
They do. I agree with that. But like, do you, you know, I guess that's not the best way to think about it. But like, it's a matter of, do you want Pat to play the whole year? And I mean, potentially risk getting hurt. Like, if you can't move around, you're going to get hurt.
I don't know that you're going to get. I don't think you play scared ever.
I don't think you play scared. I think I think my mind goes to, if it was like this year where he was hit the most he's ever been hit in his career, like, do you feel comfortable enough to put Patrick Mahomes back there as he's coming off an ACL injury?
It, to me, it overemphasizes the need to, when you think about this offseason, to sort of redefine, at least in the short term, like, what are your expectations for the offense? Yeah. It's the same thing we've been saying. It's time to evolve the offense a little bit, even if it's a short term. Try it for a year. Run the ball like crazy next year, because when you do get Mahomes back, you still don't even know what you're going to have. Obviously, being able to run the ball helps whichever quarterback you're going to have. Maybe not Jameis Winston, but all the other ones, right? If it's Minshew, like, you're going to want to be able to run the ball. So it is the perfect opportunity organizationally to redefine the offense, which takes us into another really interesting talking point from yesterday. The Daily Mail UK, citing a source, which is about like TMZ, right? Reporting something like this. They get a lot right, and they're a lot of the times all over the place, but take it for what it's worth. Grain of salt appropriately placed here. They say Kelsey, somebody is telling them, somebody close to Kelsey is saying he does not want to go out like this, and he's going to come back. That'd be great news for Mahomes. Be great news for the Chiefs, especially if they want to run the ball and do some of those things and have just, you know, it'd be a version of Kelsey where they probably don't throw to him as often as they've had to this year for a variety of reasons. But again, like, okay, what does that look like then? Because I've said it a million times. If Travis Kelsey wants to come back and the contract works out, which you assume it would, you better take him back. He's the third most productive tight end in football this year. Yeah, he drops more balls than he used to. He's still really good compared to his peers at that position.
He is. I don't know. I all signs in my mind point to him not coming back.
But what is that based on, though? That's what I we laugh at the report from the Daily Mail or whatever. Unless there's something I'm missing, we have absolutely nothing to go on that he's going to retire other than his contract is expiring.
I guess my mind was telling me no in the fact of Mahomes' injury of, like, Travis Kelce is not going to come back and come play with Gardner Minshew. Like, he would come back if Mahomes is going to be there, basically, I think is what my mind points to.
I think those two have probably had a quick conversation since all this.
I mean, I'm sure that they will have a conversation.
Mahomes says, I'll be back week one right now, is probably what Mahomes is telling everybody behind the scenes.
Yeah. I don't know.
It would be awesome. I mean, it would be fun. It's strange to me how many people, because he drops a few passes, are like, Travis Kelce's cooked. He's done. And I'm like, have you been watching this year? He's definitely not. Like, he's been very productive. Yeah, he does drop more passes than he should. There's no question about that. That's it, though. Everything else looks fine.
He's looked good. Like, I agree. I'm with you. I don't think that he hasn't looked good per Travis Kelce standards, but he's still, yeah, I'm with you on the fact that he would still help the Chiefs. That's where I'm at. The Chiefs aren't going to tell him no. It would be
they would be absolutely stupid to do that.
Yeah. So, like, I think it's a silly thing to think of it like, would the Chiefs want him back? Like, the Chiefs absolutely would take him back. It's just a matter of, does he want to play another year of football? Like,
was Gronk on the Super Bowl team for the Bucs, or was that the year after?
The year after, I think.
I mean, Gronk came back and was nowhere near what Kelsey is and still helped them win games.
Yeah.
So, you just have to reset your expectations. Kelsey's not going to come back and command some massive contract. He's going to come back because he loves football. He's going to come back because he loves Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. He's going to come back because why wouldn't he? Like, if he can still physically do it, which he clearly can still physically do it, dude loves football as much as anybody in the history of the world has ever loved football. Part of the reason Mahomes and Kelce have been so great is because of how much they both just love football and love playing football.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it'd be awesome.
If you ask me right now, I have no idea. But it depends on what the Chiefs want to be next year, too. I think that goes into it as well. How valuable
Daily Mail. It is the only piece of information that we have either direction.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more so like the other conversation to have in it is the one that we're having of like, if he comes back, like, what will that look like for the Chiefs? Like, if
that
the Chiefs
helps are gonna to me, that helps them be able to buy into running the ball more. It's just one less thing they have to worry about replacing.
I guess, but Travis Kelce's not a great blocker.
He doesn't have to play all those snaps. He doesn't like Travis Kelce can come back and play 50% of the snaps. Who cares, right? Like, just put him in on obvious passing downs. Like, it doesn't really matter what he does. Can we do me one more favor if you're listening, Travis? In the fantasy football playoffs, could you finish out this year strong? Can you not give Gardner Minshew?
I would be terrified.
Go give Gardner Minshew everything you've got, big guy. All right, we're coming back. We got more Sports Daily. Another hour coming your way.